another episode of the Crimson Corner. Obviously, last week Utah flew out to Gainesville, took on Florida. It was an epic battle. Did not end the way that Utah fans would have hoped or liked. It was a 3-point loss, 29-26. A lot of good things to take away from that game. A lot of bad things to take away from that game. Where does this Utah team fall? How do you go about analyzing, you know, what their chances are of doing college football playoff, all of that fun stuff? To help me break this down, I have former offensive lineman Isaac Astiata on to give the lowdown on, you know, what happened last week and where the Utes go from here. Isaac, how are things going?
Hey, Michelle, they're going good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, part of the reason why I asked you to come on is because I saw you give kind of an interesting breakdown on Twitter about what you saw in that game. So why don't you just go ahead and kind of give that breakdown here? What were you seeing out there?
Everybody saw the bad. It's really easy to point out the bad, but I think where a lot of people's expectations were was because we're coming off a Pac-12 championship year, a Rose Bowl berth, and such a phenomenal ending to the season. Even with the loss to Ohio State, it almost didn't feel like this was the opening game of the season. I kind of felt the same way. It just felt like almost as a continuation of last season. But it was still the first game of the season. And so for me, I watched the game knowing that there's still going to be the not necessarily the fall off, but just a lot of issues with first game jitters, especially amplified being down in the swamp, and a lot of new players, a lot of guys who didn't have a lot of time last year who are now stepping up and filling in roles, a lot of young players. And so there was obviously going to be mistakes. There were a lot of glaring ones, a lot of ones that I think overshadowed the good of what you could take away from the game. And in that tweet, I just wanted to really just move away from the hurt of the loss, the almost the letdown, if you would call it that. For me, it wasn't a letdown, just because I was expecting to have some of those mistakes happen, right? And so I wanted to focus on the positive. There were so many positives that I saw. I don't know if you want me to go into those individually, but like I said, I watched it with I think a different perspective than most.
And I would expect that because obviously former player, you kind of know what the grind is to get to that point. You know what it takes. You also know what it feels like when you come up a little bit short in those moments. But yeah, go ahead and break down some of the more positive things that you saw coming out of that game.
Yeah. So one of my, we'll start on the offensive side of the ball. I think Brant Keithy is going to be, I think he could be a first rounder if he keeps playing ball, at least a first or second rounder. That guy is phenomenal, and it's great to see. He was targeted a lot, and even when Dalton Kincaid was targeted, he did really well. So our tight end room is still strong. Running backs did a great job. I know that there was some mishaps on the goal line with Tavion, and it took a while for the run game to get established. But once the guys kind of settled in, and this is one of Harding's more signature things, and he definitely harped on it when I played, was you just keep chipping away at the run game throughout the game, no matter how tough of a run defense you're facing, because eventually it'll break. And we saw that. It was really late, kind of, you know, mid third quarter through the rest of that game, that run game finally was getting established. And the offensive line, I think, looked great for the most part. And you always expect your O-line to come out and just completely blow out teams and move guys 5-10 yards down the field. When you don't have a cohesive unit, you know, when you watching Utah's side of the O-line versus Florida's, Utah's O-line, there's a lot of guys who have mixed and varied experiences at positions. Not all of them have played that same role together for so many years. And then you look at UF, who had fourth, fifth year guys who have been playing together for forever, and you see the cohesion and the chemistry, and they were doing really well. Our guys did well. They did as well as I expected them to do. I thought they did even better than I expected them to do. But for guys who have, from Braden Daniels down to Michael Mokofisi, who's the youngest on that line, as well as Paul Maile, there's going to be growing pains. But I think if you compare, I mean, I went back and I watched the season opener from 2021 and the season opener this year. The O-line did a great job. I think that was one of the biggest positives on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, Cam is still a phenomenal quarterback. That guy really wants it. You can tell he's a field general. He's a leader to the guys. And even though he did throw an interception that last play of the game, I still feel the same way I did prior to the Florida game about Cam. And I think he's going to do a great job. On the defensive side of the ball, a lot of young D linemen, a lot of less experienced D linemen, and for them to go into play an SEC team down in Florida, you're going to see a lot of glaring issues, if you want to call them issues. For me, I see it as just because as a player, it's young guys who don't have that game experience, and SEC football is, everybody knows, it's a different game. They still did well. I know that the DNs, they had a lot of trouble with that play action and kind of losing containment. But those are growing pains. Those are things that, they might see it in practice, but until you see it in a game, it's hard to get that kind of experience. And so I guarantee if we play another team who wants to be pulling the ball like that and playing a lot of play action like that, and the QB decides to keep it, I guarantee that those guys are going to know it and do a lot better. One of my favorite things that I saw was Lander Barton. He did such a great job. There were multiple times where you could see he was reading what the offense there, what their personnel was, the formation, recognizing it, and getting his guys into the right places. Kareni Reed did a good job too. And I cannot pronounce that dude, that middle linebacker's name to save my life.
Mbadiabate.
Diabate, there we go. I'm sorry, bro. If you watch this, I'm so sorry. I've talked to him a few times during fall camp. I know who he is. I just can't pronounce his name. And now I know how everybody feels when they can't pronounce Polynesian players' names. I think our linebacker core did well. It's another one of those things where when you have units, D line, O line, linebackers, DBs, they all play off of each other. Those guys have chemistry too, just like O-line is. And all three of them, I mean, not including Kareni, it's a different look, even for Diabate. Sorry, bro. I just can't. I'll work on it, I promise. But I think our linebackers did great. And Lander, there's a lot of things that you can tell he's a freshman. There's a lot of experience, a lot of game speed that he's not used to. But it'll come. And I love Clark Phillips. That dude is, he's going to be special. I mean, he already is special. But all in all, if I was wanting to have a season opener versus, and this is no knock to these teams, but like an SUU or a Weber State, I would rather it be against these big time SEC teams to see where our team is at, to see where, because it really shows where you're lacking versus you get a team who's in a sense less than, you roll over them and you don't really see where your players and your schemes and your whole game plan falters. And the biggest thing I think was the best part about it, even though they lost, was the amount of experience those guys got. I mean, I remember when I played Michigan in 2014 in the Big House. I thought I could go against anybody after playing that game, and that was a big game. That was huge a lot of dudes who got drafted, a lot of players who are still playing that I played against then that built my confidence. And as a player, when you go up against these guys, you know, I guarantee for, especially on the O line, some of those guys who are playing at Utah after playing this Florida team, you know, for me at least, I would be like, okay, I played this dude before. This guy's nowhere close to him. Your confidence is pretty through the roof. So a big confidence booster, a lot of experience gained by the guys. So there was so many good takeaways that I, because after watching the game, there's a lot of negativity in my mind. But that's where I'm fortunate as a player to try to focus on the positive takeaways. Because once you really watch the tape and you process and you learn everything, all your mistakes that you did, it's about making sure you don't make those mistakes again and building off of them.
So as Utah kind of turns their attention to Southern Utah, and to be honest, I think this schedule is so favorable in the sense of, like you mentioned, Utah got to see exactly where they're at in this moment, with Florida. They now have a slate of easier games leading up to that USC game, but they progressively, I think, get harder each week. So it's a great way to kind of go back, fix some of those things, and really kind of work on the technique. Just being very, very sound in what you're doing and gradually get it harder and harder, so that you have to push it a little bit each week. What are some of the things that you feel like Utah is going to have to look at this week against Southern Utah, and then of course the weeks leading up to their next big game against USC?
I don't, something that like just popped in my mind was almost as a confidence booster. When you have a big loss like that, especially when you mix in the circumstances of you are the Pac-12 defending champions, you are ranked number seventh, and you go down there and you lose a game like that on a stage like that, initial thoughts is, you know, your confidence is kind of in the dirt. But this team is a lot tougher than that. I think, you know, going into this week especially, I think guys are going to use it as essentially as a tune-up almost, you know, to see. So I can only speak for me. So for me, in 2015, we opened up against Michigan at home. And then I believe we played SU. Oh yeah, we played SUU and then Utah State. I think so. I can't remember, but I knew after playing Michigan, I watched that Michigan film. We got graded. Harding is very, very critical in film, and it's not bad criticism. It's just pointing out your glaring deficits. So, like against Michigan, I do still remember this day. I was playing over my toes a lot. Like I was leaning a lot. There were bigger dudes. I mean, I'm a strong guy, but these guys were huge. So I was playing out over my toes a lot. And then going into week two, for me, my focus was playing on my base, trying to stay within my body frame, not overextending. And that's what my focus was going into that game, personally. And so I think for the guys, it's kind of seeing what your deficits were, your weaknesses were, where you were lacking in week one, and trying to build off of the mistakes that you made to correct them, to better your skills. And like I said, almost like a tune-up where you test out, like, okay, like I was doing this week wrong, so on this week I'm going to make sure that, you know, if it's, I don't think SUU runs a similar scheme to Florida, but in essence your technique and the way that you're playing, focusing on how you're going to improve going into week two to fine-tune. And like you said, I think what you said is perfectly explained on how each week gets progressively harder leading up into conference play, because they go from SUU in San Diego State, which is a big time jump when it comes to talent and difficulty in game. And I think what I want to see and what I'm hoping to see is the wide receiver core more. I felt like it was a Brent Keithy show, and I'm totally fine with that because he doesn't disappoint. But I want to see what this offense can do with the wide receiver core, because I know it's a big question mark of how are our wide receivers. I think we have stud wideouts with Vele and Solomon and Jalen Dixon and Money Parks. You know, I think they're great players, and but I want to see that ball moved around more, instead of to the tight ends. Defensively, the D line. You know, for the D line, I think they need to be a lot more stout in the run game. And this SUU run game is not going to be anywhere close to this Florida run game, but you should be lights out on Saturday when it comes to the run game. I thought our DBs did well. Tackling was a glaring issue. You could say that it was because it was wet and humid, maybe slipping off of tackles, but also, you know, those are not valid excuses as a player. And so there's a lot of things that I know the guys can focus on that they know they can focus on better than I know. And but I think most important, it's just, hey, I did this bad in week one. Week two, I'm going to make sure that I'm building off of it and doing better.
And another thing I feel like personally is not all losses are equal. I think this has the potential to be a really good loss, that the committee views if that's really where Utah goes. I am firmly on the I think it's another Rose Bowl year, and not that I would be shocked that they go to the playoff, but I just think that's a better goal for them at this point. Because right now they're in a phase where they're proving that they can hang with these blue bloods, only losing two games now by 3 points against Ohio State and now Florida. I feel like the next step in the process is to win that game. And I just think the Rose Bowl suits that purpose a little bit better than the college football playoff does. Obviously, if Utah gets that invite, they're not going to say, no, thank you. We're not quite there yet. You just don't do that. But I do think if it does come down to that, if it does come up, the committee potentially is looking at this loss very positively. Again, Utah played them well. It's first game. Everybody knows that that's a very hostile environment. And if Florida also keeps their end of the bargain, and that's kind of maybe the little bit of a scary part, having talked with some of the Florida people, is depth is maybe a little bit questionable, and that can really, really derail a system or a season. So health is going to have to be on their side, but I think they have the potential to be a really good team too. And there's no shame in losing to a really good team as long as you don't repeat the same mistakes over and over again. You know, is there something to be said for just at the very least gaining respect in a different region of the country?
Yeah, the comparable would be that University of Oregon versus Georgia game and Utah versus Florida game. Yes, Georgia is ranked. Yes, Georgia is Georgia, but the University of Florida is still University of Florida, ranked or not. And you know, you saw the results from this. You know, Oregon. I feel like Oregon is more of that blue blood than Utah is, just because of, you know, the years of Marcus Mariota. And but you see where Utah goes, and they play in Florida, even though they're not ranked, and they fare well. You know, they lose by two. It was a great game. It wasn't, they didn't get blown out. There was, I mean, there's sloppy play, but it's understandable. But I think Utah, I just lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. You know, I'm so tired. But I think Utah has proven and earned a lot of respect on the national stage. I mean, I remember when I was in the NFL and I came out of Utah, it was always like Utah. Like, everybody either thought we were Utah State or we were BYU, in the locker room. And, you know, I felt that we had earned some of that respect, and we had it. But now, fast forward to after the Tyler Huntley 2019 season, and then Cam's season last year, and I talk to these same guys. Like I mean, I'm really good friends with the Pouncey brothers. There's a lot of alumni who played for the Dolphins that I know, and a lot of players who I played with in the Bills. Guys around the league are, like, man, that Utah team is really good, and I think they're earning that respect the more they're in the spotlight. And just like you said, it's just that fight to show, like, hey, we can hang with these blue bloods. And I think Utah, and I've always been on that same page with you, where I think that Rose Bowl, the college football playoffs, is great. If we get to go, it's awesome. But I think that next milestone, having now, won the South so many times, and then finally winning a Pac-12 championship, I think Utah's next biggest step is solidifying themselves in a Rose Bowl versus one of those teams. Like in college football playoffs, that'd be great. But I think that's Utah's better goal, better sight is in that Rose Bowl versus one of those blue blood teams.
How has this team morphed and evolved since you've been there that you can tell? Because I mean, you were really a part of the big turnaround where Utah, I think, really went from being still kind of a Mountain West team to actually being more of a Pac-12 team. And it's just kind of taken off since then.
Yeah, I was very fortunate, and I'm very, very happy that I got to play kind of that pivotal role in the school and that program's history. Because when I was a freshman, that was the first year of the Pac-12, and we almost won and could go to the championship game that first year. But we also had the year in 2012, and then in 2013 when we didn't go to a bowl game. It was kind of like we entered the Pac-12. Everybody still looked at us as a Mountain West school. We fared well our first year, and then the following 2 years, it wasn't great, especially that 2013 year. And I still remember after that season, not going to a bowl game, our leaders stepping up that 2014 year. Guys like Nate Orchard, Nate told us, we had our first team meeting when we came back for off-season workouts in the wintertime and in January. Nate told us that we can either be a part of evolving this team and progressing this team and this program, or we can continue to be the bottom feeders of the Pac-12 and always be looked at as this Mountain West team who doesn't belong. Because during that time, everybody said we didn't belong. We the guys before us, the 2004 season and the 2009 season, those guys paved the way for us now, at that time, to continue that legacy. I mean, during that time, it was, we're going to be a part of something that continues to build off of that. And that pivot in that 2014 year and then the 2015 year was the, in that 2014 year when we played Michigan in the Big House and we ran them out of the Big House, that was huge. And then going into the 2015 year, and I think we went like 6-0 and got ranked third before we lost to SC. Those were a lot of those stepping stones where, and I had realized after my career, and it's a, especially after watching that 2019 season, it's kind of a humble pill to swallow to be like, to finally accept, like, hey, like, we weren't going to be that team. We were going to be the team that set it up for these guys who came after us to build. We did our job of kind of pulling ourselves out of the Mountain West, out of those years where we were, the team that didn't belong, to, hey, we're going to build this program up and pass it on, essentially. At the time, we were not thinking that. At the time, we're Pac-12 champs, that's what we want to be. And it's great. But now, sitting back and looking on it, we were a part of that building and laying the foundation for this 2019 team, the 2021 team, who finally got over that hump. It was such a fun time because we went from the underdogs to the top dogs. I mean, that Oregon game in 2015, Coach Witt, because in 2014, like, we were the Giant Slayers. Like, that was his thing, is that we're this underdog team. We're going to come in, we're going to beat all these phenomenal football teams as the underdog. And that Oregon game in 2015 was really the turn of the tide of like, no, like Utah football belongs at the top. And that's kind of, in my opinion, that game and that season is kind of the that leaf that got turned over from being the underdogs to, no, we are the top dogs. Like, we are the Giants. We're not the Giant Slayers anymore.
As someone that was a leader of some or a leader on some of those teams, looking at these guys now and the opportunity that they have ahead of them, what advice could you give them?
After that 2021 year and the championship, my biggest fear was that, hey, we did it, and we're gonna live off the merits of, hey, we did it. Now we're this team. We don't have to work as hard, because you see it all the time. When I first went to a spring ball game, that wasn't the case at all. And the leadership that they have there is phenomenal. And I think a lot of it has to do with all of the players taking ownership of, hey, that was last year's team. Like, this is the 2022 team. But guys like Cam Rising and Brent Keithy and Clark Phillips, these leaders that they have, kind of wanting to write their own story every year. It's a different chapter. It's a different year. It's a different team. And they're where their head is mentally, where they're, because that 2015 year, we, our downfall was we got caught up in the hype way too much. And I don't see that with this team. I see a lot of humbleness. I see a lot of guys who just want to get better for each other, who want to play this game for each other, who care about each other, and who just want to take it a week at a time. And I hope and I know with the leaders that they have that that mentality will continue through. I mean, I've if my only advice would just be to continue to take it a week at a time, continue following the leaders, being, if you're not like this, captain role or the role of whatever have you, lead from within, do your part, and just keep chipping away at it.
Okay, so we're gonna not respect the process. We're just gonna fast forward to the end of the season. End of the season, where do you see this team?
I think we're going to have another championship year. I really do. I think the even with that Florida loss, the way the schedule is set up, the how well USC is, I think the biggest matchup is going to be on that USC game. Oregon, obviously, I mean, Oregon is still a great team even after that loss to Georgia. But I think the way things are set up with Utah, having lost to Florida now being ranked 12th, having a good loss, the way that they build over this season, I think they have a really good chance of being in the college football playoff picture. But for sure, I truly believe that this team has all the pieces still to make another Pac-12 championship run and then make another Rose Bowl berth.
Okay. Well, you heard it from Isaac Asiata. I believe the same thing. I think this team is smart. I think they're hungry. I think they're not the kinds of guys that are gonna let something bother them and fester into, not doing as well as they could. I think quite the opposite. And especially when you go through what something that they've gone through like they did last year, you're kind of Teflon. You're just, I don't think much phases you after something like that. I see good things in their future. They just got to put the work in. That's the biggest thing. And it doesn't sound like that's been the issue at all. Heading into Saturday's match, what do you want to see them do?
I want to see this game, and it's not a secret. And obviously, like me as the former player, never take a team light. But now me as a fan, I'm like, this will be a game where possibly the threes could get in, And me speaking as a fan, I would really like to see what depth they have. I really want to see who our backup players are, who our twos, the rotating guys. I want to see what they can do. Obviously, I already know what the starters can do. I think they still did really well against Florida. I want to see our guys leave healthy, but the starters, I just want to see them just play a complete game. I think they did really well in week one together, but it was almost like it wasn't a complete game still because there was aspects that would show and then kind of go away. Decisions, play calling that was made that maybe wasn't the best. And I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying, just play that complete game with the ones. I want to see, an even run pass on offense. I want to see what our starting wide receiver core can do. And then on the defensive side of the ball, my main focus for the defensive side is the D line. I want to see, how these guys respond after that, even though it is that tune-up game. I think we will get a peek at who's backing these guys, who's behind Van Fillinger and who else is on that D line. There's a great history of defensive line in University of Utah football, and that's a big legacy to carry on. I've never seen a drop off ever in the years. Every year they're always stout. It's almost like the guys who are starting, who might have graduated, are still playing. So I want to see that D line. I want to see those guys come out and absolutely tear this team apart because of what happened last week. But like I said, overall, I just want to see that complete game. But when the time comes, I want to see who our backups are. I want to see more of, maybe Chris Curry versus Tavion Thomas. I want to see more, whoever's rotating at the O-line. Just the different players who, later on when injuries do come, because they do come, who's there to back them up?
Well, perfect. Hey, Isaac, I appreciate you taking some time out to talk about last week's game, what you want to see this team do, and just kind of talking about, again, some of the process that Utah's been through in order to get to this point. It's an exciting time to be a Utah fan. And just a lot of great things to say about the program at this point. It's hard to be disappointed, I think.
Yeah. I think there's, like I said, in my tweets, I wanted to focus on the positive because there's so much season left. And where it felt like this was a continuation of last year, it could be really easy to get down and negative and, kind of a all hope is lost mentality as a fan. Like, totally understandable. But at the same time, there was so much good that came out of that game. So many good things, so many good tests of what and where Utah football is at, that I'm excited. I'm excited for the game on Saturday. I'm excited for the rest of the season.
Well, hopefully we'll be seeing you around at games. Again, thank you so much for your time. Y'all, you've been listening to the Crimson Corner. This is your host, Michelle Bodkin, Utah Utes Insider, signing off. And as always, go Utes.